ahead.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you, it's an absolute precious privilege. And from the bottom of my heart, I can only say thank you for giving me the honor to not just share God's word, but to do so before an audience of brothers and sisters that I not only look up to, but I cherish, I love, I know, and have the opportunity to emulate the men and women that I look up to and share the word before them. From my heart's bottom, I only say thank you to you, Bob and Jeannie, Barney and Vicky, Jan, and the rest of you that have played such an instrumental role in my life. And I just pray that these words can pierce your heart as God directs, that I can honor you, and that we can celebrate the goodness of Jesus Christ. This is going to be a spiritual pep rally. So I want to talk on faith tonight. But it's impossible to talk on faith without being reminded of who we are in Christ. You know, personally, my name is Michael, as you know, Capodice. I come from a great Christian family. I am a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to be a student of Kenneth Copeland currently, but I've been mentored by the finest men and women in San Diego that I call family. In addition to my parents, I consider Bob and Jeannie heroes in my life. And so what I'm about to give you guys is the Cliff Notes version. We're going to go 30,000 feet above from what's typically a 4 or 5 hour weekend in the Word seminar and spend about 12 minutes just giving you some fun facts and promises in Christ. And we have to start with who we are. There's a famous quote that says the value of something is defined by that which it costs to acquire. And God gave his only begotten Son for you. You know, often we read the simplicity of these verses that we're familiar with and the truth in them. Sometimes it either gets diluted or goes above our head as if it doesn't pertain to us. But God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, for you. For you, not for you, for you, Warren Seams. For you, Al. For you, Mom. Each of us. That's the value and worthiness of who you are, is that God gave Christ for you. And then what? And then he allowed us to become born again. Born again of the Most High God, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. We're marked with a seal. We're part of a new blood covenant. We've been gifted eternal life, freedom in Christ, no longer under the curse, but under the blessing. Hallelujah. We're no longer a slave, but a child, no longer lost, but found. Dare I say, we're no longer human beings, but a spirit being possessing the same wondrous, powerful spirit that rose Christ from the dead. It resides in each of us. Folks, we're not a revised version of who we were before Christ, and we're not sinners saved by grace, although that is true. We are an absolute new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are loved. Your heavenly Father is God. He's your dad. And when he made you that new creature, each of us, we're a new species, if you look the word in Greek. We've been gifted with the Holy Spirit. Dare I say, it's no longer English or Spanish that's your native language, but instead your primary language of communications is speaking in tongues. And each of us are bilingual. The enemy wants us to struggle with an identity crisis. And as we sit here tonight, as Bob echoed, we are victorious, we are triumphant, we are courageous, we are joint heirs with Christ. Positionally, we're seated at the right hand of the Father, enabling all things possible. Every promise of God is directed to you. Every piece of Scripture was written to you. Anything and everything is possible for those that believe, having faith in our God. Sometimes that's hard to grasp with an enemy in this world, right? Trying to create artificial identities. We can be enticed to engage in an identity crisis if we're not reminded and familiar, renewed with who we are in Christ. But these truths of who we are the foundation, the ABCs, so important to walk in the authority given to us in Christ, allowing God to work through us, in us, and around us. And so I just want you to be reminded of who you are and how God sees you and how much He loves you. Now we're going to transition, please, all the way up. We're going to transition to what else God has gifted us. Because as the song said, all I see is victory. In Christ, all we see is victory. All God has equipped for us to accomplish is victory. Every situation, circumstance, endeavor, and thing that lies before us, we're promised victory if only we shall believe. And brothers and sisters, He's purposed us to believe. He's furnished us for every good work. You know what? I must say that as we emerge from a world system collapse, the shutdown, we come out of it. And I'm just so blessed to have been a part of this season of preparation. Bob, Jeannie, Barney, Vicky, Jan, coming together and following the instruction of God to make His word available, despite what the world says, despite what's going on. We function a part of God's kingdom, not a world of a parts of a world system. And in this season of preparation, the momentum that's been captured for you guys individually, for us collectively, to emerge from this shutdown purposed, excited, gifted, equipped, furnished, triumphant, and victorious for that which God puts before us is an opportunity that I can only say, carpe diem. Seize the moment, brothers and sisters. Seize the moment. Because God did not provide this momentum. Bring this amazing family back together. The best days of Acts Now Fellowship are before. Despite being older, despite being geographically separated from when maybe in the 20s and 30s. But I sense the momentum. I feel the purpose, and I discern the opportunity that lies before you. And I just ask that carpe diem, we seize it. We seize it when we see a frightened world out there. We seize it as we go back to our lives, and at some point, potentially, we're not meeting nightly. But the show must go on in Christ. Let me compose myself. I'm a little too excited. So as we... One thing that God has gifted us in Christ, right? We possess every spiritual blessing. But we also have a sixth sense. A sixth sense is the faith that He's provided to us. The first five senses that we have are in the natural realm. The sixth sense enables us to see spiritually. Spiritual goggles, if you will. And we see in Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You, as we talk right now, have the measure of faith. Metron in the Greek. You have the measure of faith to move mountains. You have the measure of faith gifted to you to call that which is not yet seen into being. You have the capacity to believe all of God's promises, all of His word, all of His instructions with absolute confidence, trusted commitment that God's promises apply to you. God's promises apply to you because the source of our faith is our Heavenly Father. He loves you, right? It's not He loves you. It's He loves you. He loves you right where you are now, right with a giant or a mountain before you. Right with the victory just experienced, right with a trial or a challenge or a celebration, whatever the situation or circumstance, God loves you. More importantly, God agapes you. It's that open-handed, unconditional love we see in the Old Testament. It's open-handed. It's selfless. It seeks nothing in return, only the betterment of you. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, is as big in our lives as we allow Him to be, and He desires to be everything. Folks, the most powerful person on planet Earth is the Christian who knows who they are in Christ. And it is a privilege to talk to a group that knows who they are. Calling in on a Thursday night as summer is upon us, we're emerging from this collapse and world system, and there's a million other things to do. What a testament, what an example of your love for our God. I just thank you again for the privilege of sharing these truths and reminding you of who you are And as we progress, focused on faith for the next few minutes, you know, some of these are simple truths that you know, but we're going to be reminded, what is faith? We see in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, you have the ability to call that which is unseen into being, right? That's faith. If we can see it, it's not faith by definition. If we can do it in our own strength, by definition, it's not faith. But fear not, because we're not called to do it in our own strength. Our faith, as it says in Mark 11, our faith, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. My faith knows that God shall honor His word each and every single time. All God's promises are yes and amen, and every one of them applies to you. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstance, no matter what falls before you, no matter the diagnosis, no matter the employment issue, no matter the challenges with relationships, and no matter how much money is the bank, every single one of God's promises applies to His children, of which you are. And we walk triumphantly, we walk victoriously, and we walk in expectation of those promises manifesting in our lives. Quickly, the arch enemy of faith. There's one source of love. There's one source of goodness. Faith, right, is pistos. We see that. Pistios is the believing action. There's also an enemy that opposes us, right? And his antidote to our faith, right, if Superman, what kryptonite was to Superman, unbelief is to the believing Christian. And the author of that unbelief is Satan. It's one. There's one author. You see in the Greek, I know I'm among scholars, and we see in the Greek that there's two words for unbelief. One of them, apistios, is the antonym to pistos. It's so clear cut and dry when we see it in words, but it could be so deceiving, cunning, and crafty when we face unbelief in this world, a world with societal norms and cultural expectations and a world system rooted apart from God. All these things surrounding us. The lines of faith can become blurry. We can easily be enticed. You know, there's a saying, as I was a programmer, bad data in, bad data out. Well, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that is a constant repetition of hearing God's Word, full immersion in God's Word, placing the Word of God before your eyes, having it in your ears, speaking it relentlessly, victoriously, ferociously, for I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? For God is with us. These verses are to be recited as we walk around, sometimes alone, building ourselves up, hearing the word when we speak it, allowing it to go from our mind, seeping down to our heart, confessed out of our mouths, so that when the pressures of life come upon us, we know nothing but to speak the word. We know nothing but to respond with action corresponding in alignment with God's word. We are only allegiant to the word of God. We only adhere to the word of God. Our lifestyle is aligned with the word of God because we are His chosen. In the last 1.5 minutes, we're going to go quickly over the several fundamentals of faith. We see a pattern of how we can hear from God and expect those promises. The application is a more applicable word, right? Number one, we have Holy Spirit talk to God. When we're confronted with a situation or we're given an instruction, seek Him. Seek Him before we pray. Seek God for counsel. The perfect counselor residing in us. The perfect counselor residing in us allows us to hear from our Heavenly Father. Number two, stand upon a scripture. If you're believing for something, if it's healing, if it's finance, if it's relational, if it's direction, know the scripture of what you're standing upon. Know what you're standing on. Stay rooted, an immovable, steadfast foundation in God's word. Speak that. Speak that scripture so it's a part of you. It's in the innermost part of you. And when the pressures and the thoughts of unbelief and the darts of the enemy attempt and strive to dissuade you, to discourage you, disregard, because we're rooted firmly in the promises of God. Number three, and this is the vital one, unforgiveness is poison to our faith. Walk in love, for God so loved the world, He's called us to do the same. Walk in love. Better yet, agape. Wherever we go, we have Christ in us. If we go to the grocery store, it's Christ in us. Walk in love. I'm wrapping this up right now, guys. Quickly, I'll say that number four, confess and speak the promises. You hear them out of the abundance of the heart, and I'll speak it. When you speak the word, you'll hear it. Number five is believing, right? You see David, if you look at David quickly, he won the battle with Goliath well before he entered the arena of fight. That victory was confessed and believed well before. The same with you. You look at that giant that's in your mind that's before you, and you confess and believe the promises of God, and he shall disappear. And lastly, expected result. Confess the expected result. So vital. Some of the instructions of God, we don't see specifically in the Word. You know, go left or go right. Move north, move south. Speak what God is calling you to do. See yourself in the destination. Envision, imagine, not from a fantasy perspective, instead, allowing what's living in you to be manifest in what you live outside. So there's a pattern of fundamentals we see with the woman blood hemorrhage. We see in Mark 11, 22 to 25, but that'll be for another day and another time. Right now, I just again say thank you. God bless you. Anything that's before you, myself and this family to come to, we're a band of brothers walking life together until we spend eternity. Thank you, Bob. I love you.